Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I've had the privilege of leading two trips to Uganda and Kenya. And let me tell you, the way that God moves in that part of the world is unbelievable. We ran a crusade in Uganda, and a young guy that came on trip was the one that actually preached. The Lord gave me vision. It wasn't for me to preach it. It was actually for him. I had a dream of him preaching. And this isn't part of my notes, mind you. So there you go. And what happened was, right, I had the dream, and I told him, hey, you got to come on a mission trip. And this is what the Lord put in my heart. And we get to that crusade, and there's no one there. It's like literally we stopped someone, we set up all these speakers, and we're like, where on earth are the people? Are we preaching to the animals out here? But then the music starts playing. They get up and the pastor starts declaring, hey, if you whatever you're doing, stop your businesses, stop whatever, come, you're gonna hear the word of the Lord. And within 15 minutes, I kid you not, over 1,000 people were there. And this young man preached and over 100 people gave their lives to the Lord. God can and will use you. So that's cool. Hey, I want to honor Emmanuel. I don't know if he's in here still. I think he's in the parents' room. What a beautiful communion and, you know, so detailed. And want to honor you because I know you're hearing me because I'm looking right at you. You know, Emmanuel, what I love about the body of Christ is that, and you've often heard me say this a lot, we can identify problems, we can identify things, but we can also bring solutions. And Emmanuel's one of the smartest people I've ever met. Ask him what he does, and then at the end of it, you have to ask him, so what is it that you do? You need a qualification to know what he does. But he saw a need. He's got his three beautiful children. It's like, well, there's a lot of parents here, and it sometimes can be difficult to be in the service. So I know what I'll do. I'll set up an iPad every single week, and I'll put it on Facebook so that the parents in the other room can stream in and not miss out on the message while feeding their kids. But the cool thing of that is that we talk about mission. The cool thing about that is that we had someone that was part of our community who had to move back to Tasmania to be with family because of health. And he's in a place where, funny enough, when we live in a country like Australia, you would think there's a church in every community, but her closest church is an hour away and she doesn't drive. And so now she joins us every single week as well online because someone saw a need. And God prompted their heart. They didn't wait for the pastor to ask. They met the need. Now people literally around the country get blessed. So can we put our hands together for Emmanuel and Steph? I tell Steph all the time, she should start her own podcast, eh? Honestly. I haven't seen your dance moves, but you know, it's true. It's hard to beat Rue on the dance moves. But just want to honor you because what you see with Steph here is what you get in real life. That's why our Young Adults Life Group is so fruitful. Because you get young people that come into a life group feeling like, I don't know if I'm welcome in community, but you have people like you, Steph, that open up your doors and make people feel home. So when you say church is home because it's with your community, it's not a slogan that you say, that's your life, that's how you live. And there are so many young adults that are pursuing the heart of God because of your hospitality. So I just want to honor you. Let's honor Steph as well. I'm going to get Hayden to work a little bit longer and then I'll get him to sit down, but you know, it's beautiful today to see the church a bit emptier. And you might be wondering, what on earth is that about? During worship, it was actually very powerful. See, with a lot of people that I've spoken to, they're actually away with their families this weekend. And during that moment of silence, and Ruth, thanks so much for being so obedient to the Holy Spirit in that moment of silence. You know, the Holy Spirit impressed something on my heart in that. That is beautiful. Because I remembered one of the best bits of advice I was ever given was in 2015, Alexis had been born, and I sat down with someone who was our senior pastor for 27 years, Pastor Phil Hills, and I honor him, and Pastor Barb. And I asked him, how did you do it? How did you lead in a time where, you know, we social media wasn't existent, and, you know, it wasn't as easy to just, you know, balance everything. And he looked at me without even thinking and gave me the best piece of advice that I have lived by 10 years on ministry and staff. And that was relationship with God first, relationship with your wife second, relationship with your kids third, the church fourth. And I said, no, but we got to do it for the church, man. We got to serve the church and do it all for... No. Relationship with God first, relationship with your wife second, relationship with your children third, if you have children, and the church fourth. So when I hear that families are spending that time together, it's one of the most beautiful things. It's one of the most inspiring things. And I know that for some of us, that may not be possible, you know, but can I encourage you, you know, during worship, you might have heard me go, whoa. And the reason why is the Holy Spirit just impressed a line. And he said, son, your greatest legacy is not going to be the number of your congregation. It's they're two right now in kids right now, Alexis and Judah. They are your greatest legacy. Because I'm a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not the God of the crowd of the multitudes, but I'm the God of the generations. And that broke me. Broke me. Because we can often get caught up in numbers, in outcomes. But your greatest responsibility, your greatest treasure is underneath your roof, in your house. They may not be children physically, as in like you may not have children, but it might be a relative, someone in your world, your greatest legacy. What we do, what Sonia and I do to lead each and every one of you is not to impress God on us, it's to impress God on you so that that generation, what they carry will be twofold and we will see revival in their generation. And today in Prayer Power, it was beautiful because, you know, at the end, I was really touched by what Kim shared. You know, what's the point of having revival if it stays here? What's the point of a moment of encounter if it stays here? What's the point of the love of God if it stays here? And their generation gets missed. Other generations get missed. You know, we read, and again, this isn't my, I'm going to be going off my notes a fair bit today. Holy Spirit's really just been wrestling my heart, you know, resting my heart. You know, we see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but then we see the opposite. We see David, Solomon, Rehoboam, and then we see a whole generation go away from God in one generation. All it takes is one generation to lose sight of God. You had a man after God's heart pass over the baton to the wisest king to live the earth, and then you had a son who wasn't discipled that threw it all away. Let us not be a Rehoboam generation. And so, Lord, right now, I just pray for today's word. You're doing something today. And I know that you've just freed people right now that feel like the church attendance is what you measure. No, you measure the heart, Lord. You even say it in 1 Timothy, and I believe that this is for someone right now. 1 Timothy 3, when it's talking about raising and developing leaders, what Paul is charging Timothy is not to raise faithful people at church services, but actually men and women that can steward their households well. Because what's the point of leading the church if you can't lead your household? Some of you need to go back to your number one ministry, and that's your household. So Lord, I pray today that it's you that speaks, just like you've been stirring my heart, that you would stir others today, Lord, and set them free. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you very much, Hayden. Can we put our hands together for Hayden? Really appreciate it. Now on the flip side, these are the moments that I really enjoy, the testimonies, you know. God talks about, you know, to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And we talk about church multiplication. And I'm very happy to announce that there is a church multiplication that's taken place over the last few weeks. One of the greatest testimonies in our time in leading the church. And I actually got a photo to show of what that is. So we'll see if we can put it up, if it's coming up. There we go. Baby Eliana, yes. I don't know if Neil and Jane, you're watching or you're feeding. I don't know if that's the only one. There are a few other ones there. Praise the Lord, she looks like Jane. Love you, Neil. You're handsome. You hit, I'm joking. Look at her. What a treasure. You know, for those that don't know Neil and Jane's story, in a few months he's going to get to share it, but this is a miracle. 11 years being told that, you know what, it's probably unlikely that that's going to happen. And now she's here and she's reminding them every night she's here. A message, Neil. She's reminding them that she is here, but so cool. So, you know, if you feel free to reach out to them and wish them well, and let's give them a bit of space for them to adjust to this season, and we'll see them back soon. I think we've rostered Eliana to worship lead when she's 6 months old. So put them to work straight away. Speaking of honouring as well, people in the house, obviously Vanya's in kids today, but what a word from Pastor Vanya last week as well. You know, we haven't talked about what she was going to preach on. I really feel that, you know, one of the things that we want to talk over in the next few months is the person of the Holy Spirit. We hear a lot about the power of the Holy Spirit. We hear a lot about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but many of us still sort of see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scripture. We don't fully understand who Holy Spirit is. And so we're going to start unpacking from the very beginning in a few weeks' time as well. That we've got Pastor Cherie Rice here next week as well, Pastor Sharifa, as we like to call her. So it's going to be great to have her come in as well. And so today is Kingdom Culture Sunday. For those that are joining us for the first time, you know, for us, we have, it keeps increasing. I think we're on 9 Kingdom Culture values. I'm not sure, we added a new one every few months this year, praise the Lord. But we're on to the 5th one today. So we've covered prayer fuels power. Have you prayed about it? So whenever there's something going on, the question is, have you prayed about it? You know, God's word is our foundation. It's what does God's word say about it? Not what the popular preacher of the day or my opinion say. What does God's word say about it? We introduce a new one. God's presence, his presence is our priority. Am I growing in awareness of his presence in my daily living? Last month, Pentecost Sunday, miracles are normal. And we just heard about a miracle this morning. One of the greatest miracles in the Bible, and that is the miracle of salvation. And we heard a story today of Matt, whose father he's been praying for all his life, who made a decision over the weekend to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. So if you're in the mature generation, you're never too old to receive Jesus, and you're never too old to be used by God. And so today we are speaking on making disciples isn't optional. And the question that comes with that is, who are you discipling? And the question that I add to it is, who is discipling you? So we can get so caught up in sowing into people's lives that we can be like a jar that we pour out into everyone, but who's pouring into you? And I'm going to start off with a testimony about who poured into us and why we're here today. But the scripture, and this one won't appear on the screen, it's not my main scripture today, comes out of Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Basically, Jesus, before he ascends, he gives us the command to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he gives us the assurance that he will go before us, he will go with us to the very ends of the age. And so when I think about our journey, you know, when I was preparing for this, like I said, I'm going to be going way off my notes today because Holy Spirit's been challenging a lot. See, as preachers, we can teach you concepts, right? We can teach you how to, why to, but it's very important to also share testimonies of what that looks like in our life. Because how many of us have been there? It's like, well, that's great, but I don't think they relate to my story or my journey. For us, you know, 2009, 15 years this year, we've been married, August the 30th. Sonia's the one that would probably forget, but she doesn't, thank God. If she did, who knows? Anyway, that's the tangent. But 15 years anniversary of us being in this church, coming into this church, very broken, very burnt out, absolutely no interest in wanting to serve or do anything. You know, in fact, we made it officially our home in 2009, but I'd started coming along in 2007 at a very confusing point in my life. And it was through Life Group that we met this incredible woman of God. Her name was Jennifer, and Jennifer was one of the most encouraging people that you would ever meet. Like, you know, like you've literally got an empty glass. Like this isn't even the proverbial glass. It's a literal glass. It's empty. But she would say, but you know what? At least you have a glass to get water. How amazing is God? And I'm like, you can't be this positive. And so I remember going in and, you know, the next day, like you walk into the life group and life groups are amazing. I got to tell you, God used that avenue for us. And on this table, right, they had all the really... the not so good stuff that Steph says that she eats late at night, the Tim Tams, the chocolates and the chips. But then on the other end, there was this beautiful little celery, perfectly cut julienne, I think is the term that they use, celery sticks and carrot sticks and dip. And she was like, she was always considering everyone. There are people that, you know, are healthy. That's your, no one would ever eat from there. But hey, she believed one day the Lord will bring them. And, you know, I remember going, I am not going to talk. And I didn't. I answered one question, said my name, answered one question, and I'm like, this was the most awkward night of my life, because I've never met anyone so positive. Funny story on a tangent, I remember one day when we got there, her and her twin brother was angry because someone had stolen her bike. She used to ride a bike to school, someone stole her bike, and she was like, that's okay, the Lord bless them, they probably needed it more than me. This was the sort of person she was, right? Frustratingly beautiful. So after life group, that first time. The next day, I get this text message. It was an absolute essay of a text message. And it was like, you know, the Lord blessed me by bringing you today. And when you answered, I can't even remember answering that, so maybe she thought of that. When you know, I knew how hard it was for you and how uncomfortable you felt, but that blessed me that you stepped out of your comfort zone. And I'm like, wow. And it was just this beautiful encouragement. So I call up Sonia, you know, at that point, you know, we're engaged. We're thinking about, you know, where is home going to be? I'm like, look, I don't know if this church is going to be home. I was growing up in we grew up in Conservative Baptist. So Pentecostal churches was, you know, was a very big extreme for us. So we didn't know, but I'm like, hey, you've got to meet this girl, Jen, man. I've never met anyone that's so encouraging. So Sonia comes along, same thing. It was the same thing. And I checked her messages to make sure, does she have a template that she uses? But no, it was uniquely written to Sonia. So then when we got married, we put her on the table where we had the non-Christian friends that didn't want to sit them with the people that were going to send them to hell by the end of the night. Sorry that there are some of us there. It's not sharing Jesus confidently, it's sharing Jesus condemningly. But anyway, that's a different topic. And so we put them on the table with Jen and I'll tell you why I share that for you in a moment. So anyway, one thing that Jennifer, you know, she starts picking on us. God is going to use you and Sonia to lead a church and to bring God's people, you know, in your local community. Sorry, bring people to God in your community. You have got leadership on your life. And I'm like, Jen, like by then now, you know, I'm used to the optimism. I'm like, Jen, I get it. That's the line of every single leader. I understand it. No. Like legit. And I would ask my friends, hey, did she tell you that? No, she didn't say that for me. Okay. Okay. Lord, give me strength for this part. 27th of January 2011, Jennifer went to be with the Lord at 26 years old. Still one of the hardest moments in life, but on the 29th of January, we received a call. We were in a different life group by now, and you know, we received a call from one of our leaders at church saying, hey, we were part of a couple's life group and we love this life group, and you know, the leaders, funny enough, the leaders of that life group are now our South Location pastors, but they were going to get married and then they were going to move to London. And so we're grieving the loss of our friend, and we get this call, and Pastor Jesse Winchester, who was a big part of our church for a long time, you know, he said to us, we need someone to lead the life group. And we've asked every couple and you're our last hope. It's very encouraging. Sonia's like, oh, they were desperate. I like to look at it, save the best to last. I don't know. Depends which way you want to look at the glass, right? And Sonia's like, no. And I'm like, okay, we'll do it. Sonia does what a lot of Hispanic mums, even though she wasn't a mum at the time yet, do. They give you that anger stare through the smile. I knew a mum used to do that. I knew I better go and hide at home. We hang up, why would you do that? Because, well, let's see if this prophecy thing's true. Jennifer said that this is our calling, right? And I don't know how to do it. But you know what? We'll just create the table. And I can't cut the carrots as good, but I'll try. But we'll just do it the way she did it. We will just love and encourage people. So when you hear an encouragement from us, like, you know, it's a thing that's often said of us, we love to encourage people. Know that that's because someone invested that in us. That wasn't my elk. That wasn't my default. I did like encouragement, but in church, I didn't like talking, right? It was because someone did it to my life. Someone exemplified it in my life. Now we get to do it all these years on, 6 years of leading a location. This is what our vocation is. So when I ask the question, who's discipling you? It's very important because too many of us in the church limit discipleship to a formal program of expert and novice. You know, I'm going to tell lots of stories today, and I'll tell them as quick as possible because I just saw the time. First Saturday of February 2014, absolutely petrified because that week, I'm starting on staff in a training role, and I'm like, Lord, you better be in this. Two things I said I'll never do, never be a pastor, never go on a mission trip. Don't need the title to serve, and I don't need to go around the world to minister. God's got a good sense of humor. I was a teaching pastor, And there was a training that was happening for Life Keys. And because I oversaw the teaching pillar, it was strongly encouraged, forced, but strongly encouraged to go along to this training. And I was told that there was going to be one of the interns. Part of my role was to look after the interns. And I was told that one of the interns would open the door for me. Cool. I don't know who this intern is. But it was almost like an angelic light. It was a very fluorescent jumper that this intern was wearing that was built like a security guard. And I'm like, wow, they've got security at Bridge Church now. It was called Bridge at the time. This is awesome. And this person opens the door and introduces himself. And I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm Dave. And, you know, and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, I noticed this guy can pray, but this guy can slay too. Like, if someone's going to come and belt me up, I need this guy in my life. So I start doing life with this person. We become really, really good friends, seem like a brother, to the point where Alexis is born the year after. Not even 24 hours old, this friend of mine is holding my baby. That's how much I hold this friend. I'm going to cry a lot because it is a beautiful thing. Then we launch West, and this person didn't actually even live in the West. This person was like, hey, they lived, you know, in Hawthorne. They were at East location. And they're like, I just feel the Lord's called me to be an armor bearer and be there with you. I'm going to come with you. Came along, no agenda, didn't want to be on any team. You know, he was there with us. That person's none other than Rue, right here. It wasn't a formal program. He's now a prophetic pillarhead. 10 years of life, every single week, mainly sending random pictures and memes to each other. The occasional spiritual gem, but some pretty good memes that are out there. But if we're doing life every single week, I had no idea I was going to be a location pastor. He had no idea I was going to be a location pastor. But we just do life and we check in. See, discipleship is not a program. Programs are essential. Life groups are important. You know, training is important. Mentorship is important. But discipleship is a way of life. In Luke 12, we read that Jesus prayed all night and then he went and chose those 12 that we heard so encouragingly about from Emmanuel before. So we could think about, oh, gee, Jesus, you got it wrong, man. I mean, you got a thief, the dude that was stealing the money, but yet complaining about why we give in to the poor. You had the dude that looked you in the eye and completely denied you. And then the other 10 guys are like, oh, I don't know, we better run. But Jesus prayed all night and that's who he chose to do life with. And he didn't just do life on Sundays. He did it for 3 years every day. And so today, and I love that the way that the Lord prompts my heart with his kingdom culture values, because I don't want to just recycle a message from last year. You know, today's message is out of Luke 19, 1 to 10. And I'm going to share this story with you. One of my favorite scriptures, one of the scriptures that I teach a lot about when I do leadership stuff. That's a formal way of saying it, leadership stuff. Luke 19, I'm going to read it. It should appear on the screen behind you. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. So we're going to unpack this very quickly. First point that we see in this beautiful illustration, see what the awesome thing about discipleship that we see is that divine opportunities are all around us. Jesus, that wasn't even Jesus's agenda that day. Jesus was just going past Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, you know, and Jericho was that sort of part of town where it was a trade route from Jerusalem to the east. And, you know, he had his important things to attend to, his meetings and whatnot. But yet he was always open to the divine. See, when discipleship is left to the church, we miss out on God's agenda. Every day here we saw, this wasn't even a church day. It wasn't the evangelism drive. It was literally Jesus just going about his day when this opportunity took place. And we're going to unpack that more in a moment. So in your workplace, on the street, at home, we have opportunities to engage with others. And so here's where I tell my next story. So Thursday night, 2016, I sound like my grandma, but I won't talk as long, I promise. We'd be here till 5 p.m. if I did. So Thursday night, we used to run these things called, welcome parties, where, you know, we'd have it, we had zone passes where one pastor, Pastor Bob, I saw him over here, Pastor Bob, champion of this house, he was the zone pastor for the West. He would connect anyone that was new at our city location. We didn't exist yet as a location. And we would get together at someone's house. And I remember that particular day, Pastor Bob said, we've got 8 people coming. How many pizzas should we get? I go, well, there's 8 slices in a pizza, maybe 4. He got like 12, but that was brilliant because everyone got to take home. Generous giving. And I remember getting there and meeting this very vibrant and chatty guy, such an encouraging guy. And, you know, he introduced me to his wife, and they were looking at, you know, planting themselves at this church, and such an enthusiasm about this guy. And, you know, they just got married that year, and they were expecting, you know, a child, and it was just an exciting season for them. So let's do life. Let's hang out. Let's grab a coffee. Then, you know, about 2 months later, he asked me, hey, I feel like God's put on my heart for you to mentor me. Like, and like I said, there are different variations. This is why I'm telling these stories, because there are very different iterations of what discipleship looks like. Mentorship is, I see something, you're a little bit ahead in the journey. I see something on your life. Do you mind going on a journey with me so I can learn that? But at the same time, it works the other way around. There are things that I learn as well. Let's go on this journey. Unbeknownst to us, with his son, there were situations where we found ourselves at hospital a lot in his first couple of years. And, you know, we did life, and, you know, this guy, when we were looking for a building, really helped us a lot. And, you know, his wife helped us a lot. And, you know, Sonia started mentoring his wife. And you know, every once a month formally, but catching up very regularly, and often not talking about church stuff, right? Just doing life. And the cool thing is we get to see the fruit of that, because last week his wife preached. It's Pastor Vanya. I'm talking about none other than Pastor Levi. Let's put our hands together. That's honor. It was formal catching up. And again, it's not serious stuff. There are moments where we talk about serious stuff, but if you're around Levi and I for even 2 minutes, we're clowns, let's be honest. But who would have thought on that night when I'm like, really, I can't be bothered going, but I'm gonna go, that a dinner would change my life. Not for my church, but for my life. Because what I've learned through Pastor Levi and Vanya is about faith. When they had their promise in their hands going through something difficult, they held on to that. When Levi sacrificed employment for 2 years to serve the house, and we went on a journey in that, because when people often say that, I'm like, we better pray about that because that's got to be God. But seeing him faithfully lead and serve, this house, serve his wife and kids, and now to see where they are, part of our church planters pipeline in years to come, they'll be leading a location. But all because in one dinner, I just rocked up and I'm like, all right, let's grab a coffee. Here we are. You'll notice 10 years, 7 years, discipleship is not a power, 3 months and then you're good to go. It's a lifetime thing. Beautiful prayer to pray is, Lord, will you highlight someone I can connect with today? Because one of the obstacles to discipleship is preconceived ideas about self and others. See, verses 2-4, we see that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Tax collectors are already hated, man. Like, these guys are Jewish people taking tax of Jewish people to give to the Roman government and often taking a little bit extra. And the Jewish people couldn't fight back because, you know what? Like, these guys had the Romans back in them. We heard some of the methods, the beautiful methods that the Romans used to punish people. So whenever we say, hey, these are the bad times, they lived in bad times. Anyway, we won't go into that. So here's the chief of these guys. So he's teaching other people how to rip people off. So you can imagine he was not the popular guy. And so what we find is that to the Jews, he was a nobody. You are scum. But to Jesus, he was somebody. And see, often we might think that people are too far gone. But God wants to use you. We may not ask other people to disciple us because we may feel like we're the scum of the earth, like we're unworthy. And on top of that, you know, he may have been loaded, but there was no plastic surgery in that day, and there were definitely no surgery to make him taller. He was a very vertically challenged man. I love that Luke puts that in his account. This guy was vertically challenged. And no one helped him because no one cared about him. You don't deserve it. What do you want to see, Jesus? You rip us off anyway. You want to rip him off too? You don't deserve it. But yet Zacchaeus didn't care what they thought. He put himself in the sight of Jesus. How many people in your world don't even know who Jesus is, but they're putting themselves in your sight because God wants to reflect Jesus through you? You know, I look at my brother Sonny over here. who up until January had never walked into a church before. How many people are like that, that don't even know what a church is, man? That are in our workplaces, in our lives, in our families. And the closest thing they're ever going to get to a Bible is you. Which is why testimony is important. And so what we see here, right, is that the people may not be as obvious as Zacchaeus. They may not be vertically challenged people on sycamore trees trying to capture your attention, but the Holy Spirit will highlight people in your world and your life. And Zacchaeus was not in Jesus's direct line of sight. If he's up on the tree, Jesus is just walking like this. But Zacchaeus is like, I just got to try something different to not be a face in the crowd. Yet Jesus noticed him. See, as followers of Jesus, people won't always be the obvious choice. And so that's why we always have to keep looking peripherally everywhere we go. You know, I remember another story. And by now, when I tell this one, you'll know, and I'll make it obvious at the end of it what I'm doing. Lockdown. Let's talk about lockdown. Hey, this is more a counseling session now. Counsel me, people. I was hearing, watching Yvonne pray before. I think I need Yvonne to pray for me to deliver me from lockdown, man. I'm still struggling with that. But we've got our global prayer pastor, Pastor Erin Planner, and she tells us about, you know, this couple in her life group. They are like assistant leaders and they are brilliant. I'm like, Pastor Erin, what are you telling me about this couple, man? Like, you're rubbing it in? Like, what's going on? Oh, no, they're moving to the west side. So, you know, you should meet them. I don't poach, but hey, all right, sure. Well, it's, and so it's like, I'm actually meeting with the wife today. We're going to a coffee at St. James. Why don't you come for a coffee and introduce yourself? It's like, sure, we'll go, you know, introduce and put in the dodgy salesman hat on. And we always say, hey, wherever God leads, you know, but if they are what you say they are, man, we ain't going to say no either, right? Go and I meet this person. Yeah, you know, we're thinking about it. We're moving here and, you know, and this is where we're at. And, oh, sweet. Didn't hear because obviously we didn't have church forever. Out of lockdown, you know, they join. Like, hey, we're ready to serve. We love life group. We want to open up our house for a life group. Like, oh, man. Again, we say no to that. And we love worship too, and we've served in kids, but maybe not kids now, but we're just going to serve in worship. Yeah, that's brilliant. You know, we get them on board. And so here we are doing the journey with them. And Jade, Pastor Jade, who was Pastor Levi's predecessor, her parting gift to us when she moved into her next season of life was like, hey, there's a teaching gift on that guy. I reckon you should see him for Teaching Pillar. And that's none other than Neil and Jane Domingo. Let's honor them while they're feeding Eliana. You see that what I'm doing is I'm painting a picture of how our fivefold team came together. It wasn't like, who are the best and let's choose them. Lord, you lead some. Obliviously, we had no idea, some intentionally. But you see a gift on someone. Now we see how Team Advance and how Teaching Pillar has grown because of the gift on someone's life. Back to Zacchaeus, he caught Jesus' attention. Is this helping anybody so far? I'm saying it very fast today, but I love that Jesus stopped. He didn't go, bro. Make it quick, man. I'm preaching, man, on Sermon on the Mount, man. You better make it worth my while. No. Jesus stopped and he initiated. Listen, young man. Oh, you're actually a grown man. Sorry, but you're small. No, he didn't say that. He could have said that. With urgency, Jesus says, I must stay at your house. Not, hey, do you mind if I stay with your house? You know, I'm the Son of God and I just want to tell you about who I am. No, I need to stay at your house. I need to do life with you. In other words, the urgency suggests that Jesus saw this encounter as significant to his divine mission. See, divine opportunities seldom come at a time of your choosing. When God puts someone on your heart, don't wait. Reach out. Send a message. Make a phone call. Discipleship is not a formal program, though it's important. And so you might be wondering, okay, well, I've spoken about, I'm not going to tell the story of how I met Sonia. She's part of the fivefold too. So sorry you missed out. No discrimination, but that's, we'll do a relationship series. We'll do that. Well, what happened with Matt? Save the best to last, I guess. You know? Divine opportunities seldom come at a time of choosing. You know, I remember during the lockdown time, you know, Matt was navigating a few things in his own life. And, you know, we had a discussion about COVID. And to be honest, I didn't really have an opinion on it, but I knew that for Matt, it was a difficult season. Now, I could have come and given him Bible and given him my lack of opinion. I could have given him my time. Hey, bro, I don't know, but let's go for a walk. Well, let's grab breakfast. And maybe the breakfast. I love breakfast. January of 2021 or 2022, one of the two. I think it's 2022. We book a time and we go have breakfast at 7 a.m. 7 a.m. And if I'm putting words in your mouth now, you tell me this. That was the first time anyone that had worked for a church had actually gone outside of his availability to go and meet with him at 7 a.m. Often he was like, oh no, it's not 9 to 5, man. You've got to come around my time. Jesus, in his moments, he was inconvenienced. Significant things happen. So I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, we'll talk about that viewpoint later, man. But let's talk about you, man. What's going on? Let's talk about life. You know, and we did a journey. Then in May that year, in our anniversary service, Pastor Sonia preached a beautiful message, you know, and Matt comes up. He's like, I'm available to serve. And has been serving in production ever since. But then this year, in doing life, this man has got such an integrity about him. This is a man of honor, humility, and integrity. And he's got such a way of being able to piece things together and the gifts in the areas of business that, let's be honest, I'm 6 months of a business management course in year 11 where I sold sausages that fell on the floor because I needed to make a profit wasn't going to help. So can't use that here, right? So now Matt's our business manager. Let's put our hands together for Matt. When God puts someone on your heart, don't hold back, reach out. He takes place everywhere. A few more stories to go, then I'm going to invite the band up. See, it looks different. For our fivefold, we have the formal. I catch up with them once a month, you know. And but then there are also the informal. These are the last straight, the last straight, I've already said his surname. These are the last story of how discipleship can happen as well. 2 years ago, Matt Street, love this guy. Comes up to me, he's like, hey, man. Do you mind if we grab breakfast? I'm going to say, I think you're getting a theme here. Ask me out for breakfast. Sure, 4 a.m., I'll get there. As long as you're paying. No. And he's like, hey, will you disciple me? And he spoke about some areas in his life. Will you disciple me? Sure. So for the last 2 years, on the first and third Wednesday of the month, we get together for an hour and a half. It's formal in that we book it, but it's informal in that there's no agenda. And I made that clear. Okay, make this clear. I'm not going to be asking you to join a team. Remember, I said that many a time. I'm not going to ask you to join a team. But whenever, whether it's a formal setting with my fivefold or just an informal setting or even a one-off catch-up, my agenda is always the same. How's your walk with God if they're married? How's your wife? Or how? And so Sonia with her wife would ask the question, how's your husband? If they have kids, how are your kids? And then how's your business or how's your job or how's your life? It's not, hey, when are you joining that team? And I told him that. I kept saying, the Lord will tell you when. And it wasn't until a year and a half later that I said, you've got such a prayer anointing. Not even speaking to Rue about it, he went up to him and said, it's time for you to join the prayer team. He's been one of our prayer warriors ever since. And such an honor to be prayed by you today, bro. Honestly, can we put our hands together for Matt? There is no hidden source. The reason why I'm highlighting them and not me is there's no hidden source in this. It's literally just sitting down with someone and hearing, where are you at? So if you ever receive a message from me, hey, I haven't seen you, are you well? It's not because I need your butt on a seat. It's just genuinely, I care, where are you at? And I know that that's hard for many people to believe because our experience has not been that. It's often been like, hey, I heard you're not well. Hey, but when are you coming back to team? The Lord adds to his numbers daily. The Lord adds to his body according to his purpose. It's not my job to do that. It's my job to love people in front of me. And it's your job to do the same. We're almost there. You know, when the choices, see, again, we think of the choices of Jesus as like, if we had him here today, like we have him in our hearts, but we had Jesus in the flesh telling us, hey, I've been praying all night as the Son of God, and these are the 12 that I've chosen. We'd be like, this guy's lost the plot. But yet with Jesus, he was always intentional. See, there are always going to be questions, but as you're led by God, see the heart and ignore the crowds. Verse 7, the people didn't get it. See, Jesus came for everyone, the oblivious as much as the obvious. The people that didn't deserve it as much as the ones that, well, none of us deserved it, but let's put, if we believe that there are some that deserved it there. And yet, they mumbled and questioned. They made opinions. And Jesus reflected what Zacchaeus did. He didn't care. He went, you know, if the church played a part of making disciples, reaching out to someone, no one would be left out. You know, today, we're guesstimating here, there may be about 85 of us in here today. You know that there are 350 people, or 357 if you want to be exact, attached to West. If it was just up to me to do that, that's one person a day. I'd maybe get a couple of weekends off. My kids wouldn't have their dad. So they grow up without a dad. They have to find someone there. And let's be honest, some of you would be glad to hear from the pastor, but others are like, oh no, they see through my soul. We don't. We don't have extra anointing on that. The prophetic pillar does it. We don't. Apostolic. We're all about, you'll do. No, I'm joking. But the person next to you on your seat, that's the answer. And you hear me say this a lot. That's the answer to someone's prayer. Even when I even see like parents, and I look at little Jude right here, don't know about the team choice for George, but Lakers, they're all right. Our children, they're our answer to prayer. They're our answer to prayer. But yet we wait for the program where God's like, I'm waiting on the person. Others may criticize, but God knows the full context. Preconceived ideas only limit God's hand. Ananias and Saul, not Ananias, the dude that lied to the Holy Spirit and died. Don't worry, guys, that are new believers. That was an exception, not the norm. You won't die if you lie to the Holy Spirit, but you shouldn't. Anyway, Ananias is there praying, Lord, send me, I will go, send me. Okay, oh, awesome, Ananias. I love that you're doing that. Down the street on Straight Street, there's a guy called Saul, and he's blind right now, but I've made him blind, and I need you to pray because when I'm going to use you to heal his sight so he can go and preach to the Gentiles. And then Ananias is like, oh, Saul? Isn't that the guy that's killing Christians? Oh, no, Lord, I wasn't singing, send me, I will go. I was saying, send me, I might go. You heard it wrong, Lord. No, it says Ananias was like, all right, Lord, I'll go. Absolutely freaking out, but he went. And now half the New Testament's written because he didn't hear the crowds, he heard the Lord. Open heart, open mind, you know, sharing Jesus confidently. It's why we talk about the importance of that with Cherie coming next week. But find someone for you too. I'm sorry if there are some of you here that have been hurt, that people have let you down. I'm really sorry about that. I can tell you one thing. I mean, I can only speak on our behalf. We don't wake up on a, maybe Monday mornings, no, horrible joke. But we don't wake up going, I wonder whose life we're going to damage today by letting them down. Who's the list today? George is wearing a wolf shirt. He's my guy today. No, we don't wake up today. Sometimes, you know what? People do make mistakes. That's where grace is needed. That's where we pray for our leaders. Even Jesus says to pray for those that persecute you too. I hope we're not persecuting you, but you get what I mean. But don't ever close yourself off to someone else simply because you were hurt by someone else. Maybe you're the answer to their healing and they're the answer to yours. That's all I'm saying. You know, the best part of this scripture, I'm going to invite the band to come up to give the false sense of hope that I'm finishing in 1 minute. I'm on fire today. What's that song? It's my party. I can cry if I want to. I'm turning 21 tomorrow, so I'm going to have fun today. The best part of this scripture is that we have no idea what was spoken in this exchange. I love that. We don't read Jesus going, the power of me compels you. Oh, you're a sinner, man. You're going to hell, mate. We don't know what happened. All we know, they had some beautiful bread and some beautiful brisket, what I'm imagining I'm having for lunch today. I hope if anyone wants to provide, I'll accept it. But we read in verse 8 that the details of what was said was irrelevant because repentance took place that day. See, when we do life with people and we go on a journey with people, what discipleship does, it leads to repentance and salvation. You know, these will happen, right? Repentance took place. Conviction is better than condemnation. Calling up is better than calling out. What's the difference? You're doing this, you're nothing. Hey man, you're doing this, but man, do you know that there is more to life than what God has His plan for you? What, you lied? You're going to hell. How could you? You're horrible. Hey man, God's disappointed for you because if you realize what's on your life. I wasn't going to share this story and I'm going to keep this one anonymous. You know, in 2016, one of my team came and gave me his resignation. I walked in and I'm like, I think I must be the one that's persecuting this guy. He told me why. This is what I've been in my life, I've struggled with. Therefore, I can't be a leader. Okay? Looks like you've decided it for me, bro. But I'm like, but, he's, what do you mean, but? Actually, I reject your resignation. Why? Well, if I accept that, I'm just giving you license to be rejected and do what you do. But we're going to go on a discipleship journey. This is what we're going to go on. We're going to do life together. And if after a few months nothing's changed, then you know what? You don't need to give me a resignation. I'll fire you. No, I'm joking. I did say it like that. He looked at me like, he knows I'm joking. So he went on a journey. And what God did in his life, he was a single guy, met his wife now, got two beautiful kids, planting a church overseas. Can you imagine if I had just taken that religious legalistic view? Condemned and go to hell. How many people have missed out on the call of God because someone that God put to disciple them condemned them? So whatever you're going through in your life, you are never too far gone for God, and you are never worth less to be discipled. So we see this with Zacchaeus, the world's stingiest man to one of the world's most generous men. Change comes from encouragement and exhortation, not judgment and condemnation. He gave fourfold to people. He didn't just go, okay, man, he gave back and beyond for people. Now, you may not be a Zacchaeus. You may not have millions of dollars, but you have gifts, grace. There is time. There are things, wisdom, experience that you have that you can give back, right? And so then the most important part of it, salvation came. This is what leading someone to Christ looks like. We often limit it to the end of the sermon where I say, if you want to receive Jesus, raise your hand. And we're all looking, oh no, it must have been a bad sermon because no one put their hands up today. This is what leading people to Jesus looks like. Doing life with someone. For Zacchaeus, it was a one moment time. It's day-to-day life. It's being there. It's asking questions, getting clarity, seeking, a bit of perspective, encouraging someone, exhorting. Remember, I'm not talking about being airy-fairy. You're amazing, God. He's good. I'm not just saying that. Exhorting actually sometimes is, hey, man, the choices that you're making isn't a godly lifestyle. Hey, let's go on a journey to show what the Word says and how that can look like for you. Saul encounters when people are made blind for their sin are the exception, they're not the norm. But when you think about the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, Jesus gave her her autonomy, her agency, her identity. He didn't condemn her. And he also gave it to the Pharisees that wanted to stone her. He convicted both and he condemned none. So I finish with these two stories. Not like my grammar again, but it's very important. I want to share one name, I'm not going to share the other name. Then my good friend Matt, we're on this journey for 2 years. And Matt, this guy's an evangelist, man. He's got such a grace of evangelism. I've seen it when we've gone out to breakfast. We have the beautiful witness to that, right? And he's just bumping into an old friend. He's bumping into this guy and the guy's not in a good place. Never walked into a church in his life. Matt didn't start going, repent! You'll go to hell. No, he's just, hey, bro, hey, sorry to hear that, man. I'm going to be praying for you. And every time, like, hey, man, how's everything? And genuinely remembering the details. It wasn't like I'm praying for you. And I'm like, okay, well, what's that message I got? No. Check it in. How is things? How is life? How are things going with you? So one day, his friend goes, hey, bro, you mind if I come to church? Oh, come to church. Sure. Long story short, this journey made this guy lead him to the Lord. Baptizing the Holy Spirit a few weeks ago. But because someone just obeyed and just loved on someone, didn't wait for the church program to do it. He was the church program. You are the church's program. Not Numa Church, the church. Go and make disciples of all nations. You are the only hope. When Jesus says, go and preach me, he's empowering us. You are the only hope. Alpha's great. Purple Book's great. Life groups are great. But in your sphere of influence where people are never going to walk through those doors, you are their only hope. And I finish on this story because, again, it could be like, oh, but you're the pastor, man. You get paid to preach on this and to do this. It's true. Silver and gold, I don't have much of. So if you do want to, no, it's my birthday. No, JK, okay, we're not encouraging that. Take that out of the podcast. I'm getting some complaints on that one. This youth worker, 2008, my very first client, meet this guy and he was very encouraging. He's like, mate, I don't even want to work with this guy. That's how encouraging it was because the funding from his program had ended and he made it clear that he was going to make my life difficult. And he did. He lived in Melton. We were in Brunswick. I would drive out the hour on a Monday morning, and I would hear him laughing inside, not opening the door. And I could have gone, the power of Christ compels you, sinner. Come out, sinner. Come out, you foul beast. I could have done that. Could have done it. But I'd say, hey, my program limitations, because I knew God stirred my heart for this. My program limitations says that, you know, I've only got a couple of months to do this, but you're worth driving every single week. Because I had met him when I was on placement with the organization that he liked. I took baby formula. I had no idea what baby formula was at the time, but it was a good education, babe, because years later I knew what it was. And I'd seen him and just God broke my heart for him, because it was just generations of father's neglect, right? And father's heart was just strong for him. So I said, let me tell you one thing, Bruno. Let's bring Bruno back from Encanto. Bruno, you're worth it. And I'll keep coming back every Monday till you open the door. And I did for 2.5 months. Then I got a call from Bruno because he got in trouble with the police. Now he needed my help. So I could have gone, now you've got to repent, bro, because the Lord is calling you out. I'm like, oh, I told you I'd be here, bro. It's new life, man. Hey, man, you got some beautiful kids, man. You got an opportunity to be a great dad to your kids, man. And he's like, I don't even know how he got that. He's like, are you a Christian? And I'm like, if how I answer it, will it mean you won't talk to me? Then yes, I am. No. Sorry, I'm in my dad joke humor today. Been up since 5. Like, man, God loves you, man, but we weren't allowed to talk about God. I worked for the Jesuit Social Services. They are Catholic, but we weren't allowed to mention Jesus. So I was like, yeah, but I could answer if someone asked me. And then I just said, hey, but you know, irrespective, God loves you, but you are a great dad, man. I saw you. Anyway, I worked with him for about a year and a half, 2 years. Then I moved on to another job, and he remembered where I was going and he reached out. This was in 2013, because he had to go to court. And so I had to write a letter for him. Then he reached out again in 2019 when I was a pastor now, because he heard I was leading a church. Can I come to your church? And on Good Friday, he made a decision to follow Jesus. And 2 weeks later, this happened. Can you show the photo? This could be awkward if it doesn't work. When I didn't want to be a pastor, the Lord still expected me to go and make disciples. A household was saved because I had no idea what I was doing, but I was there. I'm going to invite you to just be upstanding. Making disciples isn't optional, because it's not about filling churches. It's about emptying hell to fill heaven. It's far greater than who's in a church on a Sunday. What are the numbers like? You know, and just going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had the privilege of having Pastor John O'Grief here, who is our ACC, City Southwest leader. And when he asked me to join the team to look after pastors, he asked me, like, I told him, like, I just had this, not vision for it, I don't want to be the leader of it. It's just this thing that I had noticed. And for me, I hope I could play a part of getting us there. And he's like, where's there? I go, where the day comes where you go to a pastor's event and the question's not is how big's your church, but how's your walk with God? Starts with us. So Lord, right now, each and every one of us, Lord, will you open up our heart to you to be discipled by someone you choose, Lord? But would you open up our hearts and eyes to others that we may disciple, Lord? That we may do life with, Lord. That like you did with Zacchaeus, you gave us an illustration that in what we do, that we would notice someone that perhaps others don't notice, Lord. And we would just sit down with them, Lord, and let you do what you want to do. If it's a one-off encounter, brilliant. If it's a 7-10 year encounter, brilliant. Whatever it is, Lord, may we be open, Lord, to be you to other people, Lord. May we not look at ourselves from the lens of what we don't have, Lord, or what we think we're not, Lord. We are set free by you, Lord. You commanded all of us because you know we're all capable of it, Lord. So I pray right now that any obstacles would break on our lives, Lord. Judgment, shame, condemnation, right now, I just pray wherever you are right now, if you're feeling that the Holy Spirit's setting you free right now, he's setting you free right now. If you're shy, I'm not a good speaker, neither was Moses, but he set a whole nation free. He couldn't speak. David wasn't even believed in by his own family. I'm not referring to myself there. Love you, mum and dad, when they come home from holidays. But David in the Bible, I mean, Gideon thought he was the least of the least of the least, and yet with 300 guys, toppled the whole army. God doesn't need your eloquence or your gift. He just needs your heart. So Lord, right now, I just pray that wherever we are, that this week we'll be intentional about reaching out to someone and just checking in. And whatever happens from that, Lord, you do what you have to do, Lord. But Lord, right now, I repent on behalf of myself and of my church, Lord, of excuses, Lord, to not go and check in on someone, Lord. I repent right now, Lord. So Lord, I pray that you use us, Lord, and all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we're going to close the service soon. If you're here today and you've never made that decision to receive Jesus, we see right here, Jesus didn't look at the shortcomings of Zacchaeus. He saw his heart to put himself on the tree. That's what he saw. And so what we do every single week is we offer the opportunity to make that decision for ourselves, like Zacchaeus, to be like, Jesus, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to get on this tree and I just, you do what you got to do. Thankfully, we don't have trees here. So the way we do it is we invite people to slip up their hand so that I may see it and pray with you. Pray a prayer of salvation, which is what basically Zacchaeus would have done, because whatever happened on the other side, he was a changed man. And so the way that I can pray with you is that while all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, like Zacchaeus, would you slip up your hand that I may see it and pray with you? While all heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you want to make that decision today, as I look across, I'm going to invite you to slip up your hand. Thank you. I see your hand out the back. Is there anyone else that wants to make that decision? Thank you. I see your hand at the back as well. Anyone else? You're worth waiting for. I mean, Jesus hung on that cross for you. You're worth waiting for. One more time, if you want to make that decision today, will you slip up your hand that I may see it? Pray with you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening